Very good. I just want you to agree with each other. If you have someone next to you, I want you to just grab their hand right now and say, Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
we need to focus on the pure,
we need to focus on the pure,
the holy,
the holy,
and the godly.
And the godly.
The fear's got to go.
The fear's got to go.
We're grateful, Lord.
We're grateful, Lord,
that you're going to open our eyes.
You're
going to open our ears. And
we're going to hear
what your Spirit
is saying to me.
In Jesus' name.
Amen?
And amen. I want to take you on a short journey to Isaiah chapter 9. And a reality check about Isaiah 9. It's also a scripture that I've been into many, many times over the past years. He brings me back there quite often. But about a week ago, I'm going to say it like I would say it to my friends. He gave me a good swift kick where it hurts. And he said, you're not listening to my word. Okay? How many know we can hear something, but we're not really hearing?
Amen.
We can say, I heard, but not understand. And in verse 6, he said, For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. It's not S. O-N-S, it's one S, okay? And the government will be upon his shoulders with an S. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom. Who's the he that we're speaking of?
Jesus.
Yeah, okay. And I always understood that. We're talking about Jesus. Well, where is Jesus now?
Right hand.
Yeah, and where else is he beside that?
In us.
He's in us. And when we're joined hands together, we then become the corporate body. Now, if Jesus is the head and he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, where are we?
At the right hand of the Father.
Yeah, but we're also in the earth, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now if you kind of get a mental picture, here's Jesus sitting in the heavens, okay, with the Father as the head. Where's his spiritual body?
On the earth.
And who are that spiritual body going to be?
Us.
Well, it says the government is on his shoulders. So is he the government or are we the government?
We are the government.
We are the government.
The Amplified doesn't have an S on shoulder.
But there are two shoulders.
Yeah.
Okay? Think about what I'm coming to awakening in you. God has already given us a picture or a vision. And he is saying, I'm going to join you together in spite of you. Got it?
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the courts in our land have actually angered the church.
Amen.
Okay? Do you ever see an angry mob? What happens to them? They're going to connect with those that are of like mind. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
We saw this week in the news a city that was shattered by a demonic act with one man totally off center, killing independent people, totally vulnerable, and went home to be with Jesus. Your vision, Peggy, pointed out that the heavenly individuals are connected. And there's an open heaven to us. And they're going to be ministering. Hebrews chapter 1 says the angels are ministering spirits. Angels are ministering servants of the Most High God. They're ministering not just to us, but to the body of Christ to connect it. And I said to the Lord, oh, this is wonderful. This is wonderful. He says he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom. Which man are we talking about? Are we talking the physical Jesus that came 2,000 years ago? Or are we talking about the corporate Jesus that is now being formed as one unit before God? Corporate. So look at your neighbor and say, God needs you.
God needs you.
And so do I need you.
And so do I need you.
Corporately.
Corporately.
We can be determined as the shoulders with a government ability sown within us by the Holy Ghost. Oh. So now we have an ability in the realm of the Spirit as the shoulders of the Lord. Are you also the arms of the Lord? We talked about how many people were ministered to by the saints this week. Some of you didn't open up, but you have been ministering. You have been giving out love and grace and favor. Come on, put your hand up.
Amen.
Amen? On a regular basis, wherever you are, whatever you're doing under the name of the Lord, you're part of that kingdom. Okay? Now, I'm going to take you back to verse 7. It says, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. So, does that mean that the earth is going to be destroyed? No. Yet we have a lot of prophecies and prophets out there saying, oh my goodness, there's a meteor coming. Oh my goodness, gloom and doom is coming. Destruction is coming. Yet the scripture says the government will continue to what? Increase. 1948, Israel was made into a what? A state. Now the Israelites had a chance to go home. Amen? The Jews had a home. 67, they tried to destroy it. But they weren't able to. And the Holy Spirit has not changed his mind. Now I'm going to take you back to verse 7 and go to the next area. He says he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. So is it the zeal of man that's going to do it? No. Is it the anger of the church going to do it?
No.
If the zeal of the Lord creates by his Spirit a unity between us that binds us together by a purpose to hold on to the truth of God, then he's got a plan and it's unfolding. Now I want you to come with me to Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. Now, those of you who are familiar with this passage, just hold on because we're going to take it very quickly through. Ezekiel is having a vision. He says, verse 1, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and sent me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I said, of sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. Now, you know, a prophetic word speaking out of your mouth to the dead things in your life can change your future.
Amen.
Instead of confessing what you like and what you find comfortable, instead of confessing where you've been and what you've done, try confessing life to the things that are dead.
Amen.
Yeah. Okay. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. You say, well, now this is spiritual. Well, that's what's happening right now. The dead bones of the different parts of the church are coming to life because the one who is life is in them. He says, and I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So knowledge is going to come by what? An experiential reality. You're going to see dead things in your family, dead things in your past, now be used for God's glory. Verse 7 says, so I prophesied as I was commanded. Notice he obeyed the commission. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound. So again, there's going to be things that are going to happen to make you aware that when you prophesy life, there's things that are going to shake around you. And it's going to make some noise. And the bones came together, bone to bone, and I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them. But there was no breath in them, meaning no Holy Spirit. We've got a lot of churches that talk about the Holy Ghost, but they have no experiential reality of what the Holy Spirit is and who he really is and what he's trying to do. Verse 9, then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain that they may live. So these were dead bodies now. But the Holy Ghost was saying, prophesy to the dead things in your life, and they will live. So close your eyes for a moment. Say, whatever's dead in my life, I can change it by my words. Anointed by the Holy Ghost, I can prophesy to these dead things, and they will come to life. That includes the corporate body of Christ. And I'm a part of that body. Hallelujah. Verse 10, so I prophesied as he commanded me. Notice again, he said, and the man obeyed. And breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a what? A vast army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the very house of Israel. So now you know who the bones are. The house of Israel is not the house of Judah. The house of Israel is the church. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Ha ha! Really? Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live. And I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I am the Lord, that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it, declares the Lord. You say, I haven't seen any graves opened yet. Really? My friend Brian Simmons is available on the internet. A few years ago, the Lord sent him on a mission trip. Anybody see the video of the little baby that was brought back to life? Well, it's available on YouTube. dial in Brian Simmons, and he was the pastor of the church in Connecticut. I knew him reasonably well. Spent some quality time with him. And he at the time was pastoring. And he was sent, I forgot to which country, by the Holy Spirit. And he said that it was a big building, or tent, I don't remember the details, but that there was an altar in front of him, oblong, and he heard a word from the Lord that said, somebody is coming into the building, and they have a child, and they need to carry that child here now. A woman was in the back. She had walked for miles. Her child was a little boy. He was about 1.5, 2 years old. He had fallen into a ditch of some kind, probably with sewage, and he died. So she carried that baby all the way to the service. And she was crying. And he pointed out, I have a word. I know that somebody's in here. And to bring that baby forward. And the woman crossed all the obstacles and kept on walking, brought the baby, and they laid the baby on the altar. And Brian said in his head, what are you going to do now? Because he saw the baby was dead. There was no breath. And he heard the words from some of the people that were with him, what are you doing? And he said he heard words in his own heart like, you're going to look like a fool. He lifted his hands and he said, Father, I don't know what to do. And the Lord said, put your hands down and touch the baby. And Brian put his two hands down on the baby and the baby sat up. And a scream went out, obviously, and the baby was raised to life. I showed this to my wife this week. We watched it together. And I could sense, because my wife is extremely motherly. Okay? She loves her boys. She loves her grandsons. She loves her great-grandsons. She's got three of them. Two of them should be there now from Maine. And what I'm saying to you is, it brought her to a shock. That baby sat up and cried for mama. Okay? Was that a dead baby?
Yes, it was.
Do we now look at a dead church? Where it's scattered and it's got all its opinions and I'm the right one and I'm not of them and you're not of me and I'm not of you and I can't stand their guts because they don't do the baptism right. They don't do that right. They don't do this right. They don't do anything right. Well, if you listen to that, what is there for hope?
Amen.
Does that sound like a prophecy of division?
Yep.
Then watch your mouth. Stop condemning those that aren't like you. Those that are dead need to hear a prophecy coming out of you to bring them back to life. Shock them a little. Oh, yeah, he's preaching now, right? Yes, he is. And that's me. I'm trying to let you know your mouth is important. Stop confessing what they haven't got, but prophesy what they need. They need to be resurrected out of their deadness.
Amen.
Thank you. You know that you have tasted of his love. You've tasted of his grace. You've tasted of his mercy. You've tasted that he didn't let you die.
Amen.
Thank you. He could have let you die. He could have let me die. But he didn't. So, I prophesied as I was commanded. Wow. Brian Simmons obeyed the Lord, laid his hands on that baby. And guess what happened? He said, today there's a church in that same town where this little boy came back to life.
Amen.
There would have been no other church feasible without a death and a resurrection. Close your eyes. Say, Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
I'm hearing the message. The government
of heaven
through Christ Jesus.
I'm a part of it.
I'm part of that shoulder.
He is going to operate through me
and bring life to those that are broken
and resurrection to those that are dead.
And he's waiting on me
to prophesy as he commanded me.
So I'm prophesying to me now.
I'm going to open my mouth
on time,
under the anointing
of the Holy Ghost of Israel,
and bring life
back to what is dead.
These dry bones will not remain dry.
This mouth,
that has been going in the wrong direction,
is doing a complete turnaround.
It's going to prophesy life.
It's going to prophesy healing.
It's going to prophesy grace.
And favor
to me and my house
for God's glory.
For God's glory.
For glory to the Lord.
It's not me.
It's Him.
Operating through me.
By the Holy Ghost.
In Jesus' name,
I pray.
Take a deep, deep breath. Let the anxiety go. A couple more times. My sense is that there's unbelief that needs to be identified as unbelief. And the reason that Jesus could not be received in his hometown is because of unbelief. You say, I can't prophesy. You're constantly doing it from fear. Every time you confess, I'm afraid. I am this. I am that. What are you saying? You're saying that the great I am is fear. The great I am is hopelessness. The great I am is depression. The great I am can't use me because I'm too broken. Are you a dead bone waiting for some life to come in? Then speak. Speak. Speak his word only. Confess what he says about you. Confess what he has an opinion of you. And when you begin to confess those things, healing will not only take place, but resurrection will be a part of your day. Every day. 7 days a week.